Hashem, what we're going to try to discuss today are both the halachos of tefillah as related to developmental disabilities, particularly as it comes up in Camp Hask, as well as we're going to spend a little bit of time in Hilchot Yichud and clarify anything else that you might want to. One would be surprised to find that there are many times that one has a mitzvah to be masik one's tefillah. Most people aren't aware of it because when you daven in a quote-unquote normal shul, you hardly ever should do that. Although, derech agav, it happens to be that if a child is disturbing in shul, even mila shmona esrei, if he's really disturbing others, it could very well be that the halacha would say that a father is supposed to go over and inform him. What if a camper is disturbing? This happens extremely often. Now, disturbing and the beautiful tefillin in Camp Hask, as we point out, that the campers also daven. They daven in their own way. Sometimes they scream and so on and so forth, or they sort of sing in a funny way. That's we like to think of as their way of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, sometimes the camper could really, really be disturbing. So the first, one should try to walk over to the camper and try to quiet him through hinting. One should speak to the camper if that's necessary to remove the disturbance. And at times, one should even remove the camper from the shul. One of the most complicated set of halachas, which we're really going to discuss it in detail, where you have to be mafsik, is if you find something that's inappropriate for davening in the shul setting. In other words, yes. Means to stop, correct? To stop. Even in Shemona Esrei, yes. If the camper is disturbing, then you'll leave even in Shemona Esrei to do that. Let's talk about something that actually happens that will hardly ever happen in a shul. It will happen in camp every once in a while. And that is, if there is waste, literally feces, will at times appear in the shul itself. We're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so discussing the halachos of if feces are found. Maybe I'll go through the halachos, Josh, and then remind me your question, number one. The halacha is the following. If feces are found, then the tzibur has to stop davening. That's what the halacha is, that you need to stop davening. If a person is davening within 4 amos of the feces, so then in such a case, if he's not aware, then you should stop to tell him, even in your own Shemona Esrei. This can be found, Mefurish, in the Mishnah Berurah, in Simin Sadi, Sif Katan, Pei Dalet. Now, so if feces are found in the shul, now I'm not talking about the feces are covered. I'm talking about if it's literally, I'm scaring some guys, huh? If it's literally, and it's happened, if it's literally there, more often will be urine, that will be more often, but it can and will happen that there will actually be feces in such a case, then the shul itself should be cleaned up immediately. If someone is davening, then it's usur for him to daven within the 4 amas of the feces, as well as within the odor of the feces as well. And the halacha is that one is informs him, even if you are in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Now we go to issue number two that Rabbi Penner, we're using the booklet of Rabbi Penner, on page number two, where Rabbi Penner points out, so what are you supposed to do? If now you've been mafsik, you've interrupted the tefillah, so now what are you supposed to do in terms of your own Shemona Esrei and his Shemona Esrei? Is it a hefsik? Do you continue where you left off? Do you start saying Shemona Esrei again? What are all of the halachos? So there are two different types of hefsik when it comes to a hefsik in tefillah. One is a hefsik kidei ligmaras kulo, and that is the amount of time to finish the whole Shemona Esrei. That's one type of hefsik. And the other is shelo kidei ligmar es kulo. That is a hefsik that's less than the amount of time for a Shemona Esrei. So let's say, before you came to Yeshiva Shana Aleph, your Shemona Esrei was 2 minutes long, And now that you came to yeshiva, you double the shmona esrei. That's not the goal of coming to yeshiva. But let's say that happened for good reasons, not bad reasons. Every once in a while, shmona esrei gets longer for bad reasons. But let's say it's really a sincere 4 minutes. So now you follow the shana aleph length of time, and then shana bet it gets 5 minutes, and then shana gimel 8 minutes. And I'm joking around, but it's not avodah. It still has to be avodah shivalev. So whatever is a normal amount of time for that person dan shmon esrei, so it depends on how long they have to give. Let's say the average person, jokes aside, the average person davens 4 minutes, his shmon esrei. So it depends on whether you are mafsik 3 minutes or whether you are mafsik 5 minutes. Okay, and we're going to spell that out in a moment. Now, there's also, aside from two different types of hefsek, so then there's also different reasons to be mafsik. One is that it was your fault. You were mafsik, and you shouldn't have been mafsik. What does that mean, it was your fault? So let me tell you an amazing one. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvarav. In Camp Half, if you have a camper that often urinates on the floor or has a dirty diaper that the odor will not allow you to daven around it, you have a chiyuv to check the shul, or for that matter, the bunkhouse. The bunkhouse is even more of, every once in a while, you have to daven in the bunkhouse. You have a chiyuv to check the area beforehand. If you didn't, if it's so common for it to happen, we'll have to analyze separately what's considered common, but for sure in the bunkhouses, it's quite common to have diapers that are smelly around, and hence, if you don't check the area to make sure, you're considered a mazid. So you daven in a place, the mazid, that you weren't supposed to. We're going to see this later on in Rabbi Penner's booklet. Let's go back to our case. What happens if you had a 3-minute hefsek, you weren't allowed to daven, either you're going over to your friend or you're cleaning up the mess, which is a mitzvah? So then in such a case, if it's 3 minutes and you daven a 4-minute shmon esrei, and it was a middle of your shmon esrei, so then you can continue where you left off. If it's 4 minutes, and by the way, you lift off, you pick up exactly where you left off. You are up to ata chonein v'odam das, and the next word your custom is to say umelamed le'enosh bina, so you pick up with umelamed le'enosh bina. However, if it's the amount of time for the entire Shmon Esrei, so then if he is an Ones, so then he's supposed to return to the beginning. He has to go, he goes back to the beginning of Shmon Esrei. He checked the bunkhouse and so on, and if your camper decides to go to make in their diaper, and then you have to take him out and so on, and it was longer than 4 minutes, so then in such a case, then he's going to be potter. For Shema and other brachos, that's during Shmon Esrei. For Shema and other brachos, the halacha is slightly different, and the halacha is that he goes back to the beginning only if his makom was unfit for davening. Let's say, for example, if you become unfit for davening, then you don't go back to the beginning. But if the makom, in our cases, most of the time, it's not that we're not doing these halachos as stam halachos. We're doing it as camp hask halachos. Usually it is because you're the area or developmental disabilities. I don't want to only talk about half one, the sheer to be developmental disabilities in general. The area that you're around, taking care of sick people. So the area that you're around becomes unfit. Then as well, if it's the amount of time to say Kriya Shema or the amount of time to say that bracha, let's say you're in the first bracha of Kriya Shema Yotzer Ar, so then in such a case, you go back to the beginning. Let's now, in this booklet, I would suggest skipping a drop. We're going to come back to what's page number 5. I'm going to skip to page number 8 to emphasize this idea that you need to check the shul or your bunkhouse before you daven. If you do not, and it is a place that normally is dirty, then the halach, and it turns out that it was dirty, the halacha is that you are not yotzei Shmona Esrei. That means that it was a bracha levatala. And you have to daven Shmona Esrei again. Whole new Shmona Esrei. If you checked and you didn't realize, and then someone shows you that there was a problem, so you were full ones, right? You're full ones, so then in such a case, it doesn't apply. However, that's interesting halacha, right? Who would have thought that mamish a bracha levatala halacha mandates that you're supposed to check the area? I see there are a few questions over here. Yes, I promised Josh was going to, I promised Blee Nether. Josh was going to be first. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, absolutely.
When you stop
in the middle of Shemon Esrei, you need to take 3 steps back? No. If you're leaving in the middle of Shemon Esrei, you take 3 steps back only when you're concluding. Ben?
Is this you find it disgusting that you have to repeat it? Is this only if it's in your Arba
Amos? Oh, so we're going to, that's what we're about to discuss. That's going to be back on what's in the Camp Hask edition of 5751. Wow, that's a long time ago. 25 years ago, right? 25 years ago. No, 20 years ago. 20 years ago. 20 years ago, 21 years ago, this is page 5. So we're going to pick up from there. Yes, Avram?
If I'm on Shalom, do I have
4 minutes? You have 4 minutes. The amount, the hefsek is defined by the length of the entire Shemona Esrei, not where you're up to, but the length. That let's say you down in a 4 minute Shemona Esrei, the length of a 4 minute Shemona Esrei. Now, what constitutes feces that will force him to be mafsik his tefillah? Now, there are times, actually, if your camper had an accident, number 2, in their diaper, that you don't even have to stop. And there are times that you do. Here are the rules. Number 1, if there is a dover ma'us, right now we're going to describe that as feces. It could very well be that urine as well will qualify. If there is a dover ma'us that is far in front of him, as long as it's in front of him, even if it's more than 4 amos, if the dover ma'us is not covered, then you're going to have to stop the Shemona Esrei, even if it's dark outside. If it's behind a person, so then in such a case, then it could be if you can't see it. So let's say I'm davening over here. Someone's davening where David is standing. David's standing over there. And the Dover Amos is in front of David, and I can't see it. So then I have to move the following distance away to say a bracha. By the way, this also applies to bracha, so it's not just tefillah. In order to say the bracha, then I have to move, here, listen carefully, it's a very important rule, 4 amos away from the end of the smell. Okay? So you need to measure where would the smell be, and then move another 4 amos, which is approximately 7 feet, 7 feet away from that smell. Okay, they spell out a little bit on the side that the substance is to one's side, so you should turn away from it, and again, 4 amos from the place of the end of the odor. There is, however, a reason why many of these halachos do not apply practically today. Once upon a time, were much more common, although every once in a while apply today. And that is, if the feces are covered and they're not out in the open, then there no longer is the isser of davening in front of them. The only isser is to daven in it where its odor is strong, where its odor, one could smell it. If that's so, if we're talking about a case where there is no odor, that could happen very often, that somebody could be aware that his camper was dirty, or his, Mirtz Hashem, your children are dirty, right? Your wife is davening, your Beis Hashem, you're holding your son, and then you know that they he or your son or daughter has a dirty diaper, but your wife doesn't smell it, and the odor doesn't necessarily reach at all where she is, or 4 amos from where she is. So then in such a case, if she is 4 amos away from the smell end, even if she's in front of you, the halacha does not apply. Why does it not apply? Because the feces are considered covered. If the feces are covered, so then in such a case, it's going to be acceptable. All right? Not only that, what happens if it's on the girl side of the mechitza, not on the boy side of the mechitza? Or stam, there's a mechitza that goes the other way. What happens if it's in the men's section? Right, the girls are the ones who are facing. You're anyhow going to be there the way it is in Hask. If I'm not mistaken, is that the girls are in the back of the shul, right? Okay. By the way, these halachos were much more lemaisa when Rav Penner was writing this 20 years ago, as opposed to when I was there 6-7 years ago. I was there for also 10 years ago. When Rabbi Penner was there, the shul was, for those of you who know, was in the Yap activity room. Still the Yap activity room? Still called that? The baking room. The baking room. Cooking room. The cooking room, not the bubble. The cooking room. The room with the toy adaptive toy library. That's also been...
No, I think they closed it off.
Okay, so that was the whole shul. The whole shul was in that room. Tiny. And there was a bathroom right there. And when you opened the bathroom door, once upon a time, that was Camp Hask. Now, I came the first year that they opened the Hask dining room. And then the shul was the kitchen. So I was there from the first year. My wife knows dates. I'm terrible with dates. I was there from the first year approximately 12, 13 years ago, when the shul turned the dining room into a shul and they built a very, very large dining room. My wife was the dietitian in the first year in the brand new dining room. It's amazing to think about what the dining room was once and what the shul once was. Right. So the mechitza. So what happens? So the women are in the back. And there's a mechitza between the women's section and the men's section. And let's say there's feces there, but there's no odor. So the men have to stop davening, right? If it's not covered. But the women are not going to because there's a mechitza that's blocking between the two. We've spoken up until now about feces. Let's talk about urine. Your parents asked you, what did you learn about in Shiva today? Baruch Hashem. Now this is the pshat. This is the pshat, Rabbosai, the kedusha of halacha. That every single, we're not scared of any single part of the human existence. We're mekadesh everything. That we believe that we daven even around developmental disabilities and even where there's feces and there's urine. We don't run away from it. We're mekadesh everything. And we learn the halachos of what we're supposed to do. That's the godless of Torah. That is what the Rav Katz describes, nichnas yayin yotza sod. The sod of Klal Yisrael is, the secret of Klal Yisrael is that we could create godliness even in the mundane. And that's the secret of wine. Christians and Muslims, they reject wine. They reject drinking. Why? Because it leads to sin. And we say, no. If you know what true ruchnius and true yirah shamayim is, you could take wine and sex and everything, and you could be mekadesh it. And feces and urine, that's the godless. That's the godless of Torah. Godless of Torah is not only the high ideas. The godless of Torah is to be able to take every single part of life and to be able to look at it from the perspective of Kedusha. So how are you going to describe to your parents on your Thursday night call? I believe that's your problem, not mine. But however you want to talk about it. Urine on the floor in the Beis HaKnesset, which can happen often. So then the halacha is that, and then, by the way, this I remember vividly happening a few times. I can't recall. I think there were times they told me I was towards the front. So I didn't notice. They told me in the back there was mamish feces on the floor. Dirty diapers, of course. That's Yom HaVelayla. That happens there all the time. But urine, I remember a few times over the shul. What's the halacha? So, now, if there is urine, so then in such a case, the best thing is if it's not Shabbos, and the easiest thing is just to wipe it up. If that is difficult for whatever reason, the halacha says in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Ayin Zayin Aleph, the halacha is that if you pour water over the urine, it could be mevatel the urine if you pour a revius at one shot over the urine. Here I would add one thing that I don't think is entirely accurate. This is an excellent work. He over here it's mentioned that with feces, it only works if there's no odor. If there's feces without an odor and you add not clear water. Clear water, the mashmos of the Mishnah Brura. The mashmos of the Mishnah Brura is not this way. If you add thick water, even in the example of Mishnah Berurah, it spits, so then in such a case, it will be permissible, of course, with the condition that you move four amos away from the odor. There is one exception to all these halachas about feces, and that is if you have a child who's under the age of eating a kezayis within kedei achilas prat, so then in such a case, a child like that doesn't normally, we all know, by the way, biologically, that the makeup of the feces depends on the type of food a person eats, and that a child, a small child's feces don't have the same halacha, which is a very, very important, which has important implications for babies, very young children, like even younger than toddlers. But what do they call them in English? Infants. So infants, it could very well be that their feces might be much more lenient because they don't eat dagon. And what we're talking about, all the halachas that we've discussed up until now, is we're talking about people who eat dagon. That has a full halacha of tsoa. If it's from a baby, could very well be there's a lot of room to be lenient if it's a very, very young child. So that would mean for those who have the youngest of campers, every once in a while, it could be, it seems that Rav Penner quotes Rav Schechter as being makel, younger than six in certain instances. So you could take a look over there, but that would, I would say, be only 1% or 2% of the time, all in half. What we said applies to 98-99% of the instances. Finally, just to conclude this topic, these halachos about a reach ra, a bad reach, apply not only to feces or urine, but will apply in cases of someone who breaks wind and body odor. So if there is, and this applies also with not only a developmental disability, the human phenomenon, that there's sometimes bad body odor or someone who breaks wind, in such a case, halacha is that you're not allowed to daven if the smell is noticeable. If someone breaks wind, halacha is that he's not supposed to continue learning until the smell dissipates as well, and the minhag is to wash one's hands. Questions? Yes, Ben?
What if one can't smell? Literally, it's hard for him to smell.
It's an excellent question. It's an excellent question.
Well, but
I want to get back to you. I only like to answer when I'm 100% clear, and we have our great Rebbe who's so close by. So why play Russian roulette, right? That's a very, very important. It's a very, very important rule, and that is that we go on the shoulders of giants. And make, by the way, that's so comforting. You know, when you're learning, you don't have to know everything right away. You have great people to ask and to speak. So if I remember myself to ask, why should I respond, even if I think I know the answer? Yes, Ben.
Two questions. How are we magdir?
What's that?
How are we magdir?
Vomit is only reach ra. Reach ra. If it smells bad, which it often does smell bad, which also will happen in half, so then the halacha is as permissible. Yes,
also,
I'm listening.
A lot of the campers, my 14-year-old camper per se, could have been on a G-tube. A G-tube is not dug in.
Excellent, Shaila. Excellent, Shaila. But it's made out of dagon. The form I know from my holy wife who used to make the diet. Let me get back to you. That's also something I would like to discuss both with my wife to get the mitzvahs and then to Rav Neman Sal as well. It requires two addresses. Yes. Yes. Yes, if a person sees feces, he has to stop the moment that he sees the feces, even if he's in the middle of a bracha. Correct.
And would he start off again?
Right where he left off, we said, unless he has to start Shemon Esrei again.
Be like, Melech HaOlam.
That's right. Correct. So in terms of Nusach HaTfilah, so you should know that in Camp Hass, they daven Nusach Svard as opposed to Nusach Ashkenaz. On page 10, there's an interesting machlokis that Rabbi Penner mentions between Rav Yoshev and Rav Moshe Feinstein, that if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, footnote number 3, if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz and you're the Chazan, you're clearly going to daven Nusach Svard, right? You follow what's the Nusach of the Tzibur. That's nothing to talk about. What would happen in regards to your silent Shmon Esrei? So my Rabbeim followed, I'm from America. So my Rabbeim followed the fascinating Shita of Moshe Feinstein, who said that the private Shmon Esrei is to set up your public Shmon Esrei. Therefore, you should practice the Nusach Svard. And Rav Yashiv says, no, that to daven Nusach Ashkenaz in your private Shmon Esrei, if you daven Ashkenaz, and when you're in Hask, to daven Nusach Svard. Yes.
So this
page 11 will not make our Rosh Yeshiva happy. It says on page 11, don't show him this. I don't want line number 7, that the minhag is to wear a jacket when davening for the yomah. Don't show him that. We want him to still like that. Yes, Nathaniel, go ahead. go ahead.
So not just for Shef, but also for the being used with the.
What's that?
Everyone should answer, not just the Shant should answer. Really, everyone should answer. Even the Dhamma itself, not Dhamma
and Hashem, but it's also Dhamma. That's not the standard explanation. Even Rav Moshe, who says.
Yeah, according to Rav Moshe, you should buy it than everyone does.
No, because the Shliach Tzibur is practicing for what's called, there are two things, it's called the Silent Shmon Esrei. This is, I'm using Reb Chaim's language now, Reb Chaim of Brisk's language. The Silent Shmon Esrei is Tefillah Bit Tzibur, and the public Shmon Esrei is Tefillah Hat Tzibur. So according to Reb Chaim, so bottom line is that it's a separate Tefillah called Tefillah Hat Tzibur, and here you have a Machlokis, how do you look at the Chazen Tefillah Bit Tzibur? That's the crux of the question. Someone could have said what you said, but that's not the general assumption of how we look at the Silent Shmon Esrei in such a case. An important set of halachas, one of the dear Talmidim here, this came up for him, even not in working with developmental disabilities. Someone was sick this past week, and he went to sleep at 6 o'clock at night, and the next thing he knew, and he hadn't gotten drunk before, next thing he knew he wasn't feeling well, next thing he knew it was 8 o'clock in the morning. So what's the halacha as far as he missed Ma'ariv? The halacha is that you would daven a tashlumin, that you daven to make up, you daven that Shmon Esrei, you daven Shachris twice. So lichatchila, you should know that the halacha is, in Simin Kuf Ches, if I'm not mistaken, the halacha is that you're supposed to do this, repeat Shmon Esrei Tashlumin right after the first one. You take a step back, you wait for the amount of time to walk 4 amos, 7 feet, a few seconds, 10 seconds, let's say, and then you begin another Shmon Esrei, the exact same Shmon Esrei. You don't daven a Ma'ariv Shmon Esrei. Let's say Matzoy Shabbos. It was Matzoy Shabbos that you fell asleep. You forgot to daven Ma'ariv, whatever it might be. And then you woke up Sunday morning. So then you don't say Atoch Honantanu. You daven the regular morning Shmon Esrei. You say it twice. The regular Shmon Esrei. But it's supposed to be done within that period of time. If you forget and you remember four Zman Tfila, so then it's over, then in such a case you can still do the Tashlumin B'di'evet. All of these are talking about where someone was sick. What's the halacha if you were taking care of your camper and there was no way that you were able to daven? You were taking care of a sick grandmother and there was no way that you could daven. This is not just Camp Hass. This shear is geared towards taking care of the developmentally disabled and the sick. So in such a case, that's also an onus. Just like if you were physically sick, you weren't able to daven. If you were doing a mitzvah and you were unable to daven, it's a mitzvah, and you're not supposed to daven in such a case. But then, of course, you would daven a tashlumin the next day. Yes, Ben?
Is there what to say on Otsik mitzvah here?
Yes, but there still is a tashlumin. Still is tashlumin, even though he was Otsik the mitzvah. So, those are the halachos in regards to tefillah, and there is another page in terms of the halachos of Birchas Hamazon, and leaving the table. In general, many times you'll have to take the camper away, sometimes even to go back to a different place. You should eat a kezayis of bread before you leave. Then when you return to eat, there'll be no problem in terms of benching. You should have in mind to return to the table when you leave. You should do it within 72 minutes. Try to come back within 72 minutes. If you take your camper to the bathroom, so then in such a case, wash a second time tilas yadayim. If you come in contact with feces and you intend to eat more bread, then it could very well be that in such a case, you would make a bracha of al netilas yadayim as well, because you need a new netilah al pi halacha. If you mamish come in contact with feces, so then you would need a new bracha. Yes, Ben?
What if the situation is you have to leave the dining room with your camper and you're in the middle of eating, you're not going to eat more because you're already full, you eat bread and you can't come back.
It's a toughie. Maybe ask your co to watch him for a few minutes while you bench, and then that would be the best thing to do. No, you should not bench lechatchila. You should not bench there. You should bench where you are. Ask your code. Daven even a short bench up until al yechatzreinu, if the camper really needs you. I'll tell you, one of the advantages of getting into learning is that some people who are into learning a lot bench until al yechatzreinu. So a big person who is mashpia on me benches until al yechatzreinu because of bittul Torah. I began to justify for myself. He was a role model of mine. So my kids they say to me, Abba, come on, what's this al yichatzrein? Because everybody in school benches until Vashalom. There are some Talmidei Chachamim that bench until al yichatzrein because of bittul Torah. So in this case, in terms of taking care of the camper, al yichatzrein is fine. Yes, Avram.
I had a question on how to my camp.
Yes.
So you don't have the library next to the
yes.
Show. I used to take him to the library. And
that's what I'm talking about, right? You mean the library across the road?
Yeah, sure, of course.
I know that. Yeah, sure.
That was,
you should know a little bit of history. That was Rabbi Kahn Olav HaShalom's office. Shmuel's father's office. I remember still when he used it. And I remember then when we moved the Svarim. The Svarim used to be in between the men's section and the women's section, the area where the pillar is on the right side, and where the tefillin are now, correct? That all those things were moved during my days. Yeah, go ahead.
So I used to sit in there.
Good. Sure.
And I used to dive in the Shemana Esrei.
Okay.
And once I was diving, he was my attention, but he picked up the paper.
And he threw it on the floor.
And shut down the window.
Sure, they're smart kids, Lee Einar, they're smart kids. Gosh, Baruch should protect all of them.
I went to go there, and I sat him back down. I sat him down further, but he finds it hard to walk. So I sat him down the way, and I managed to get up and crawl to the table, and I got to the table and pulled myself up, and he chucked it again.
Okay, so I'm assuming that this is not just a half story. There are zillions of them. What's the halachic question?
What should I have done? Should I have gone to the
I see. You were in middle of Shemona Esrei?
Yeah,
no.
And he keeps on doing it.
So in Shemona Esrei, you shouldn't? You should talk with your co's that maybe we shouldn't force them to go to shul and maybe go and maybe take turns of davening in shul and going out. Maybe it's even for some, it might be kedai dam b'yichidus. If it keeps on causing a zilzul svarim, and more significantly, or just as significantly, every Jew is like a sefer Torah. So if he feels that he's being mezulzal, so then, and the sefer is being mezulzal, so then it might even be grounds. Speak with the Rav with a particular situation. Again, I want to emphasize, speak with Rav Yehuda Willig, who's going to be the rabbi, Rabbi Schenker, Rabbi Michelle, and I overlap. He has experience with many of these questions. So speak with them about these type of questions. But I think there might even be room to say not to daven b'tzibur if he's unhappy and the svarim are being thrown. What I would prefer to do is take a couple more questions. Do you still want to do Hilchos Yichud, just a summary, a very brief summary in Hilchos Yichud. So I prefer to take one or two more questions and then go to Hilchos Yichud. And then, if there are any more questions afterwards, then we'll take more. Let's take two more. Go ahead, Ben.
As far as you taking and going to the library, is that considered part of the minyan? The room itself is considered part of the. If you're not.
Absolutely not. The halacha is that if you're in a separate room, and you cannot see the tzibur, then that's not considered tzila with the tzibur.
Should you do it in the doorway? If you do in a doorway, you're able to see, then it's considered if you're joining with the tzibur. However, the way it works in where he's describing is there is a small hallway to the library. I'm holding, no? The small hallway in the library. Halavai be holding and learning like this. So there's a small hallway to going to the library, and you could daven in the hallway, being able to see into the library, as well as being able to see into the shul, and then you would be connected to the tzibur. You don't have to see the chazan, you have to be able to see the tzibur.
10 people?
Or if you just see one person? No, the pashas, even if you see one person. However, you should know that that halacha does not apply if you need a minyan. If you need a minyan, then you need 10 people in the same room. You want to be in on a little secret? Rav Nevensal said, and it makes a lot of sense to me, I don't know if he's saying my svar that I'm about to say, but I think it's a davar pashut. I don't know if it's popular and accepted by everybody, that the cave is a separate rishus, which I think was also connected to the Birchas Kohanim as well, why they moved the Birchas Kohanim down, that the cave in the great Beis Medrash in the Tiv Aryeh, across from the Holy of Holies, so that cave is, that cave might be a separate rishus, which means if you're davening a mincha, that's tam, you know, a bunch of guys, ben azmanim, are getting together and davening mincha, it's not appropriate either daven in the cave, 10 guys in the cave, or 10 guys in the main base medrash, but it could be halachically they're considered separate rishus, and therefore they will not be mitzarech to join 10 for a minyan. However, you're allowed to daven in the cave and be considered connected to the tefillah of the tzibur. It's a split. So Taisus and Rosh Hashanah, there's a big discussion about this. And that we're not going to elaborate on that now. One more question? No, I don't think it's good diavad, no. The last question? Yes.
Do we know Rabbi Abadi?
Yes.
So he has a much shorter mention.
Yes, I was thinking of mentioning it. Vamevin Yavin, it could be, if there's a real tzorech, the shaz hadchak otsum, then one could use it. We'll keep that off of the recording. Okay. Rabotai, Hilchos Yichud, a few klalim. Again, a camper is functional as a bar das of the opposite gender. The rules of Yichud do apply. And therefore, all of the above rules that we're going to discuss, we're just going to give some basic klalim. If you go to YU Torah, we have 6 or 7 shiurim on Yichud. We put out a kuntris on Hilchos Yichud as well. There are some good books on Hilchos Yichud. Most of them, unfortunately, are in Hebrew. Rabbi Ribiat wrote a book in Hilchos Yichud many, many years ago. It's before he wrote his famous 4-volume Hilchos Shabbos. It's very, very hard to get our hands on. I'm not aware of a really comprehensive, good book on Hilchos Yichud in English. There are quite a few in Hebrew. So let's go through some of the klalim. Number one, for Ashkenazim, Yichud takes place if there's a man and a woman are alone in a secluded area. According to the Mishnah in Kedushin, the halacha is that 2 men are allowed to be alone with 1 woman. However, 1 woman is not allowed to be alone with 2 men. Why will this happen? How will this come about if we're not in co-ed schools? So every once in a while, it happens that, let's not even talk about cases where there are joint activities where that could happen also. But let's talk about a commonplace that will happen to even people who will not even involve themselves generally to co-ed activities. But I want to talk about a very specific case and frame most of the shilas around this particular case. And that is driving on very quiet roads with people who constitute an erva, which includes, it's an iser d'oraisa to be alone with a girl, a single girl who's not gone to the mikvah, and we don't believe in the solution of solving all the problems by sending the girls to the mikvah. That's not our approach at all, for obvious reasons. And so therefore, there is a shaila d'oraisa that would involve one man alone with 1 woman. I want to add that not only is it a shaila if you have 1 man with 2 women, and two men with one woman is normally okay for Ashkenazim. For Sfaradim, it will be problematic even to have two men along with one woman. I'm not talking about a Sfaradik Chumra. I'm talking about Me'ikr Dedina according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. I just was zocheh to discuss with, for me, in many ways, the big three of this generation, Rav Nevensal, Rav Steinman, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And I very much wanted to discuss with Chacham Avadya Shlita when we went to visit him, but unfortunately, none of us got the opportunity to speak with him. There is a machlokis between the Chalkas Mechokik and the Beis Shmuel, whether according to the Mechaber, two and two would be permissible, or only three and three for Svardim. Rav Chaim Kanievsky told me that two and two would be acceptable for even Svardim as well, who are B'nai Torah. Rav Steinman went to Chumra, Elu Ve'elu, Divrei Kim Chaim. Interestingly, Rav Nevensal did not want to answer the question, which is not like him. Shows how what a big issue is that play. Chacham Avadya's opinion on this is very, very important to me, because at the end of the day, the three Gedolim that I quoted were all Ashkenazim, right? So I'd love to hear in the Masorah of the Sfaradim what the halach is. I'm sorry I cannot deliver the goods. I tried, and I came up short. Okay. Now, when will Yichud come about? So Yichud could come about if you're driving on a... Of course, Yichud come about if you're planning activities together with a girl, or you're talking to a nurse. That could be Yichud as well. But one of the most common instances in the mountains where Yichud comes about is on roads. In the city, it's very, very hard to have Yichud Shailas on road, because in the city, Rav Yashiv writes, quoted in the Sefer Torah HaYichud, Rav Yashiv writes that if there's a car that passes by every 10 minutes, or there's a person that passes by every 10 minutes, then it's considered Rishus HaRabim. And we know that the Gemara tells us, Pesach, Pesuach, the Rishus HaRabim, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. If it's open to Rishus HaRabim, then there isn't a fear of Yichud. But on quiet country roads, even during the day, every once in a while, it's an area where there aren't passerbys. In such a case, then you can't have a man alone with two women. More than that, if it's an area, the Mechaber Paskins, based on the Gemara on Kiddushin Pei Aleph, as well as you had it in Sota and Dav Zayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara says that if you're Bederech, if you're on the way, so then even two men cannot be alone with one woman. We said that for Ashkenazim, the halacha is that two men are allowed to be alone with one woman. The Gemara says, but if two men are alone with one woman on Bederech, they're traveling, we're afraid one of them is going to have to go to the restroom, he's going to leave the other guy alone with the girl. For that reason, it's also to travel on the way with simply two men and a woman. Again, the way will qualify. Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita also told me this. The way will qualify only if it's an area where there are no people around. His father-in-law says that amount of time is 10 minutes. Okay? So that's going to be the Hagdoros over there as far as traveling on the way. We haven't discussed that night. I want to discuss the halachos of driving at night. And then I'll take any other questions after that, any other particular Yichud questions. I think we basically discussed the Nagia Shilas already in the past. We'll just wrap up with these Yisodas of Yichud, and then we'll open the floor to some more questions. At night, there's also another halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch, similar to the idea that if you have two men alone with a woman at night, on the way, that's not good. It's still Aser. You need three men. At night as well, you have the same halacha. Why? Because we're afraid that one of the individuals are going to fall asleep. We said the halacha is a man is not allowed to be alone with two women. Interesting question. At night, so normally during the day, a man is allowed to travel with three women. What about at night? Do you need four? Interesting question to discuss with Poskim. Open question. In our Kuntras Hilchos HaYichud, we left it off as an open question. Again, everybody follow the cheshbon. A man is not allowed to be alone with two women. Everybody agrees to that. That's a Mishnah. During the day, you could travel with three women. What would the halacha be? Right, and you could even be alone in an office with three women. What would the halacha then be at night? Will we say then you need four? Fascinating question. Leaving that question aside, let's leave the iyun for a different time. Halacha lamaisa. In regards to traveling at night. So just like the halacha is that if you're going on the way, it's not permissible to have two men alone with a woman, and you need three men, same thing at night as well. Shulchan Aruch is brought down that at night you need three men traveling with a woman during the evening because of the fear that someone is going to fall asleep. However, all of these halachos apply only if it's a state of yichud. If a person is traveling along, there's nothing wrong for me to bring my aunt home in the city, even if it's just me and her in the car. Why? Because there are people that are constantly passing by, and I'm not in the state of Rishus HaRabim. However, country roads create the problem. Country roads can qualify as yichud. I did a study when I was zocha to be on the holy ground of Hass, and in the study I counted the amount of cars that passed by Parksville Road at 11 o'clock at night, at 12 o'clock at night, at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And basically, if I recall correctly, at 11 and 12 o'clock there were still cars every 10 minutes. 2:30, 3 in the morning already, then that would less likely, it's possible to have it, and then in such a case, then there would be a shaila of yichud, which would mean then that at night it would not even be acceptable to have two men alone with a woman. It would only be acceptable on the country road to have three men with one woman. I leave open the question, what about three women with one man? That's something that's a very interesting question. Finally, I would like to add, and I was thrilled at the time, that I was teaching this in when we were in Hask. I also used to go to a camp and say shiurim in another camp in the summer in a kollel program. So Rav Michal Zilberman who's now a rebbe in Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan, was the shol meishiv, and he showed me that what I had said in shiur, Rabbi Ribiat, in this hard to find edition of Hilchos Yichud, quote in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I don't think that's enough in a case of Yichud to simply say that there are every 10 minutes there's a car that passes by, because the cars that whiz by, they can't really see inside, right? A dark country road, Parksville Road, certainly Parksville Road is relatively, that's paved. There you have two yellow lines. There are some roads that are mamish dirt roads, and it's pitch black. So the fact that a car is passing by every 10 minutes, I think, should not be enough. And I saw that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, in such a case as well, it would be kedai to turn on the interior light that people could see inside, if provided, of course, that it be safe and not be a traveling hazard. And I conclude with the most important halacha that I could ever teach the Talmidim, one of the most important halachas in the world, and it's not Hilchos Shabbos, not Hilchos Tefillah, it's not Hilchos Yichud. That is that please drive safely. Please protect yourself. Please be thoughtful of the lives of others. That's the most important thing one of the most important things the Rebbe could teach. They say that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein called a meeting when the Rabbeim in Tiferes Yerushalayim wanted to change the curriculum, and they said they wanted to learn brachos. That's a funny one, no pun intended. They wanted to learn brachos in 5th, 6th grade instead of Elul Metzias. The first year they wanted to learn Elul Metzias. The hardest parak in Shas is Ketz on the Varchan, which Yom Yitzchak we're learning next year. That's what the biggest lamdon say. The hardest parak in Shas. But brachos, other parakim, it's true, is a little bit easier. But they wanted something that would be easier, as well as something that would be more relevant. Rav Moshe called a Rebbe's meeting, and he gave three reasons why he was against it. I'm going to tell you the last one, the other two another time. And most important point, he said, using most important thing is teaching a Talmidim Kabbalah, Tol Malchus Shamayim, and teaching them Tefillah, and so on. Because that's not the most important thing. Elul Metzias is about
this object you have to return. Ramesha said, "Valmotornish nemin vasus yenim." You have to return something that doesn't belong to you. You can't take something that doesn't belong to you. Rabosai, when it comes to safety, you also not only have to think about the safety of yourself, you have to think about the safety of others as well. Please, 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 be safe on the road. Okay, and please, if you see someone that's, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to talk about not drinking and driving, but what we do have to talk about is not tired and driving. That's something that's very, very important. Yes, questions. Ben, go ahead.
When it comes to the yichud,
yes.
Is there any nafkamina in any cases of driving, you like the girl a little bit?
We always say, when we always discuss ilchus yichud, the Chazal gave us the basic guidelines, and I always say over the how much Bill Clinton would give to be able to have had those guidelines. He's a great statesman. I'm not talking about Israeli here in Eretz Yisrael. It could be we don't, but from world standards, there's no question that by all measures of a political leader is one of the great history world leaders. Yet at the end of the day, he became a buffoon because if he would only have had Hilchos Yichud, how much he would give? He would give billions of dollars today. He gets paid tens of millions of dollars for one speech. What he would give today to have had Hilchos Yichud. To us, it sometimes seems as a burden. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, that we have this kedusha. Yes. So what were you saying? So in regards to that, of course, these are general guidelines that many would have really wished that they had, but at the same time, everybody has to judge in his own Yerushalayim. There is a concept in halacha as well called libo gaspa. Libo gaspa means that he's very, very comfortable with the girl, and there are halachos that change in regards to that. If you've grown up with a girl and you know her for a long period of time, then you should ask a rav what are the changes of libo gaspa. If you're going out seriously with a girl as well, then it's also kedai to discuss libo gaspa. I'd rather not get into it now, since the subject of the shiur is not dating, but is, I know we're talking about half, but still, the subject of the shiur is not dating, and the subject of the shiur is the care of the developmentally disabled. Yes, Ben.
Is there a ratio for yichud, meaning like one, two, like four guys and two girls? Is that
for sure, Mutter? Yes.
Three
is a crowd. That's the rule. Three is a crowd.
In 1, 2, 3.
Any combination.
1, 2, 3, in any extreme.
Except for Svaridim, where you have the machlok is 2, 2, or do you need 2, 2 or 3, 3? Yes.
If 11 or 12 o'clock, and then there are other cars coming often, and you have the light on, so you go out and you know, you should be yichud because you're expecting cars, and you have to hear of cars. Is that considered yichud?
Any.
No,
you don't have to be watching a clock. If it's normal for cars, if you're being honest with yourself and your Rav told you that's not yichud, then it's not yichud, you don't have to worry about it.
And if the trip,
it should be mentioned, since you asked today's Gemara Shir, some Max Spector recorded it, we developed that there's a machlokis between Chazon Ish and Ramosha Feinstein. What happens if you know for sure if that no one is going to pass by, but it is in public domain, is that already qualified as Pesach Basuach L'Rishus Haram? That's Machlokis between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish. That's brought down the Sefer Dvar Halacha in Perek Gimel. Yeah. No, you have to worry if it's Yichud, the Shir of Yichud is anything that's 3 or 4 minutes or more. There are poskim here in Eretz Yisrael, for lack of a better term, Haredi poskim, who even prohibit going in an elevator. Rav Nevensal told me from Rav Shlomo Zalman, because they hold that's even the smallest amount of time, Rav Shlomo Zalman did not hold this way. I have a richus in this, in the Kuntres Hilchos HaYichud, where I tried to, Rav Nevensal was Mekel, and he never heard, I want to be precise when quoting my Rabbeim and our grand Rabbeim, he's mekel, and he does not believe, he never heard that Rav Shlomo Zalman was machmir, even though there's one sefer that quotes him as being machmir. It seems to me that there is an error over there, and I pointed out in the Kuntras Hilchos Yichud what I thought was the error. I don't think that one has to be machmir in an average case of an elevator where it's less than, well, let's say, 3 minutes. But anything more than 3 minutes, one has to be machmir for, and that means the following. You're not allowed to be alone with a girl even for 30 seconds if, by definition, the situation is not going to change. An elevator is going to open up. So less than 3 minutes is fine. Less than 2 minutes is fine. But a room, you're not allowed to lock the door and say, oh, we're only locking the door for 30 seconds. I have something quick that I want to tell her. No. That lekulei alma is an issur d'oraisa, according to everybody. Yes?
Is there a yichud with campers?
Yeah, I just mentioned, yes, that of those with many, one has to be concerned. For at a certain age, it could be a certain low age, as well as a certain very low IQ, it might not apply. We've pointed out that using IQ as a measure is the position of Chassam Sofer, but many, many poskim do not accept it today, and therefore one should be careful in Hilchos Yichud in such an instance, even with a sick person or someone with developmental disabilities. Rav Moshe Feinstein does have a tshuva. Rav Moshe tends to be Mekel's note a little bit lekula. If a man is very sick and he's not capable of having bia, maybe there's room to be Mekel. That is a big, big, big discussion. There are opinions in either direction. The Sefer Dvar Halacha also seems to be Mekel, but there we're talking about someone who's extremely infirm. We're not talking about someone who's not intellectually capable. Yes, Josh? That's a big shaila. Let's conclude. Yes, that would be suggested.
No.
In my opinion, a window is not necessarily enough if there are no cars that are passing by. And if there are cars that are passing by, then you don't even need the window. And that's Maman of Shach. If there are cars passing by, people passing by, then the window could be open, could be closed. Unless, what's the exception, Rabbosai? Where would we say that doesn't work? Metzius, no Gemara, so I'm not going to ask you Gemara. Tinted windows. Tinted windows will be a real, real shaila of Yichud. There, it doesn't matter what else is going on. But if it's not tinted windows, then the halacha will be.
For a house? Windows?
Yes. Poskim say that if you have a house where the lights are on and there's big, big, large windows, let's say some of us have that into our living room, there's a very, very large window that's, you know, in the dining room, there's a very large window that people could pass in, that people could see passing from the street, and the drapes are open and it's clear that you could see inside. Some poskim say that does not qualify as yichud, and you could be mekel and consider it pesach, basuach, or shusarab. So let's, b'shas hadchak, so then in such a case, if a person, for some reason, the door has to be locked, you should always leave the door open. But if some reason, the door, it must be locked, in such a case, talking in front of the window, with an eyeshot view of the road, there are some poskim that are mekel. But of course, to move away from the window would be prohibited. Yes, Ben, we'll wrap up with these two questions, and then that's it. Go ahead. Well, continue, not that's it. Chas v'chalil. We should continue to learn from each other forever. But for now, yes, go ahead.
Are relatives included? My sister.
Yes.
Is that including Yichud?
No. A sister, the Gemara tells us that a sister is not included in the regular prohibition of Yichud. However, there's a prohibition to live alone with a sister.
Mm-hmm.
To dwell with a sister. The Chazal, that's a Gemara in Pei Aleph on the Beis in Kiddushin, which brought down La Halacha. There is a discussion in the poskim of what does it mean to dwell with a sister. It happens to be that Rav Moshe Feinstein is quite machmir in this regard. Rav Meir Arik is quite mekel. He says living for 30 days together is what's going to be prohibited. That's Rav Meir Arik's position. Rav Moshe rejects this position of the Imre Yosher. There are different shittas in this regard. If you need to be alone with your sister for an extended period of time, another day, quite a few nights, living alone in the same apartment, a shayla should be asked. Yes, Daniel, last question.
It's a kind of
question,
but it's a social question. I don't have to worry about it before. Is it
It's a very, very good question. We need to make the halachos practical. The question was, what happened, you know, how do you describe the shayla of yichud and so on? So here, Daniel, you know, for someone who's not aware.